Hi, good afternoon, folks. This is Rajiv. Just one second, let me also start the desk recording. Take me a minute to set that up. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. This is Rajiv Khanna for immigration.com. Today is November 9th, 2009. It's a community conference call that we are recording. If you folks do not wish your voice to be recorded, please hang up. Last conference call, something funky happened. We were not able to record it. People were not able to hear me. I talked for about half an hour, and nothing was recorded or heard. So I'm redoing this call very quickly. I'll make sure I answer all the questions that have been posted in that earlier call. I'm also recording it on my desktop, so I'll have another recording in case something fails with the conference call recording. Coming to the questions before us today, the first question is from Naturalization by KG Dubs. He wants to know, is petty offense exception applicable for naturalization? The answer is no. Petty offense exception is only applicable to cases where, let me rephrase that. Petty offense exception by itself is not something that would protect you from a charge of, moral turpitude. Because remember, for naturalization purposes, INS can look behind, as far as I know. I haven't studied this issue in great detail, but as far as I know, INS can ignore the petty offense exception and still look at the charges that were against you and take into account whether or not you are a person of good moral character. If that happens, you can actually try to rehabilitate your character, try to show that this was a minor thing that happened and that since then you've never had any issues with the law. They cannot take away a green card, that's for sure, just based upon, because for green card, the petty offense exception protects you completely. Okay? So how many years should you wait to apply? Once rejected, can you apply for citizenship in future? Yes, of course you can, as many times as you like. How many years should you wait to reapply for citizenship after the rejection to have a better chance? I would say 5 years from the date of the, more than 5 years from the date of the conviction. So if your conviction occurred in 2008, apply for naturalization in 2013, a few months after the 50th anniversary. Okay? Next question, my perm. Is it okay to file a new perm while a perm application is in process with DOL for the same employee by the same employer in a different job classification? Yes, it is certainly possible to do that. But bear in mind, Department of Labor has very few good procedures in this regard. The last procedure that I heard from them is this. If you have a perm application pending and you file a second one, same employee, they will deny the second application. You then have to file a motion to reopen, stating your reasons that these are two different jobs and convince the Department of Labor that these are two different jobs. If you have a bona fide, good intention difference in the jobs, I don't think you should have a problem. Okay? Next question, Zach has it, 485 stats. He wanted to know, what kind of information should USCIS give us in addition to what they have already publicly released on pending 485 so we can predict the movement of priority dates? And the answer is, 485 alone does not predict priority dates very accurately. You also have to worry about how many cases are currently in the pipeline, how many cases were applied through consular processing. There are a lot of things, but as far as USCIS is concerned, that's the best they can do for you. I guess you could ask for also pending I-140 numbers and their priority dates, but it'll be difficult to get all that information together. Not impossible, but if you had the priority dates of the pending cases, you could get some idea of how many more cases are going to glue up the system. So these would be some of the things that I would be looking for. Next question is V. Pereira. A reinstatement question. His brother was attending Widener University and working at J.P. Morgan as an F1 student on CPT. He could not meet the requirements to be in status, so he had to leave. The I-24 is new college. DeVry says reinstatement is required, and they did not remind him about that. He's now being arrested and ankle braceleted. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to speak with a lawyer locally where your brother is. And you need to talk with a lawyer who practices before immigration courts. Okay? They should be able to guide you through the right process. These are lawyers who work on exclusion deportation cases, and they should be able to help you. If they go before an immigration judge and explain the circumstances, they might be able to get this thing resolved for your brother. Okay? Next question, Stone. What are the options after denial of an I-130 based upon failure to prove that the marriage was bona fide? Again, in your case, I want you to get yourself a local lawyer. Because if INS does not accept your explanations, including your car insurance, medical bills, taxpayer stuff, if they refuse to accept all that, they will deport you. Therefore, it is extremely important that you get yourself a local lawyer wherever you are situated. This is not an easy situation that you can handle yourself. My recommendation, sir, would be where you have a situation, I-130 is not yet approved, and it was denied based upon failure of bona fide marriage, you need to get yourself a lawyer and let them handle it for you. Okay? Good luck. Next question, Sam217. I'm a permanent employee of Company A and working on L1, which was valid till September 2011. And, okay. Now, green card is approved through Company B based on future employment. He's got his physical green card on October 5th. I will continue to work with Company A till my commitment date in 2010 June. Okay, well, that itself, I think, is a little problematic because the way I look at it, you should join the sponsoring employer within a commercially reasonable time. 8 months, 9 months, I think, is a little bit too much. Question is, how many days do I need to work with the sponsoring company after approval of the green card? There is no such time limit. You have to join them with an intention to stay there forever, or at least indefinitely. If after a few months or a few days you change your mind, as long as you can demonstrate that you joined with an intention to stay there indefinitely, you can keep your green card. Otherwise, you will have a problem. During the naturalization process, they can get into this issue, and if they find out that you did not work or did not work with the intention to stay there indefinitely, they can take away your green card. I have a blog entry on this issue, how long should I work for sponsoring employer? The answer you should read on the blog also. Okay. Next question, Andy Health. He says, you might remember my case from the previous question. My husband has a recent history of arrest and charges of second-degree assault involving me. It's a domestic violence case. His naturalization interview is coming up. I invoked spousal privilege, so I didn't testify. She didn't testify against him. Now, remember one thing. Even if the case was dismissed, and it's noted on the case that it was dismissed for, marital privilege in invocation, INS can take this debt into account for naturalization to raise a question about good moral character. Okay? And I don't think there's a deportation issue here. I'm not that concerned about that part, but I would certainly be looking at naturalization as a potentially difficult battle. Again, if USCIS does not want to go behind the dismissal, then, of course, you have no problem. So a lot depends upon the officer, the inspection officer you get who talks with you. Okay? And if this does not work out and, there's a problem, go ahead and contact either a local lawyer or you feel free to contact us. We'll certainly be happy to look at your paperwork and do a more detailed consultation. But for now, just make one rule. Do not lie about anything. Just make sure your answers to every question on the naturalization application are meticulously true. Okay? Just be very sure about that. If you get into trouble, we can certainly try to find a solution. But if you tell a lie and get into trouble, then we would have no solution. Okay? And I'm not saying you're going to lie. I'm just saying that just be careful about that part. Be very, very careful about how you answer all questions related to convictions. Okay? So Priya, 22. Husband is starting residency in general surgery in June 2010. The program was sponsored as H1. He wants to, what is the route or category EB1, EB2 for residents? EB1 is not available for most medical residents unless they are extraordinarily qualified. Okay. They have lots of papers, research, and there are criteria for EB1 that are also on my blog. You can go take a look at it. EB2 is available once there is a sponsoring employer and the individual who is applying for or who is getting his green card applied for is qualified for the job. In physicians' cases, you can start your green card once you have license to practice or if you're eligible to have a license to practice in the state in which the job is. Okay, and that's normally EB2. There is no other program for physicians other than National Interest Waiver, which is EB2 also, if they are working for government agencies like Veterans Administration or working in an medically underserved area. Okay. Next case, Fitness 901. I'm sorry, I don't do diversity cases, so I have no idea what is going on with your sister's case, and I do not do deportations also. So you need to speak with a lawyer who does both DV as well as deportation cases. Our litigation is limited to federal litigation, and DV practice is absolutely zero. I did one DV case about 8-9 years ago, and then I realized you don't really need a lawyer for DV cases, so I stopped doing them. So now comes the next one, SCRA 77. I am on H1 for the last 3 months. I would like to apply for Medicaid. I don't know the answer to this question, Medicaid and how it affects. One thing I can tell you is, start by calling INS customer service. I don't know the answers off the top of my head. Start by calling INS and then call your congressman. Whatever information you get, feel free to share with me. I can have it verified. Okay? You can contact me through the contact us form. So INS customer service as well as congressman, contact both bodies. Next question, Supriya 22. Oh, this is the second set of questions. I usually don't answer two sets of questions for the same individual, but these are short questions, so I don't mind doing this. Supriya 22 says, once my husband starts residency on H1, can we apply for O1 to get the green card faster? There is no correlation between a successful O1 and green card faster. Okay? And O1 is also not available to people unless they have a very solid record of past achievement. Most professionals would not qualify unless they have something extraordinary in their background. Can we apply for green card while on H1 externally and not through the university? Yes, you can. You can apply for a green card through a future employer as long as your husband is qualified to practice in that state. Can we start the green card process immediately in first year? Yes, you can, if your husband qualifies, if the state gives first year residents a license to practice. Okay. If you want more information on this green card through future employment option, just go ahead and send me an email through the contact us form. And just say, Rajiv, I need more information on GC through future employer. And you had told me in the conference that I can send you an email. So I'll have a couple of paragraphs of further information sent to you. Okay? Next question, am I eligible for disability benefits on EAD? The answer is yes, because disability is private insurance, as far as I know. So, in my view, Anand, I don't see any problem with getting disability. As long as you have the potential to continue the job and you have a permanent job, you know, the one that sponsored you, if you get disability on the side, I don't see any problem with it. Next question, Satish SK. I am an L1B and I have questions about the green card. I did my diploma and then I did bachelor's with Bitch Pilani for 3 years through distance learning. So they gave him 3 years diploma based upon experience, so he didn't have to do 4 years. So he's got 10 plus 3 plus 3, 15 years of experience. And working, so 10 plus 3 plus 3 is the education pattern, and 15 years of experience. Am I eligible for EB2 category? Very difficult for me to say. Normally, USCIS does not allow you to combine degrees and diplomas, but there are situations in which it may be possible. So it's not something I can answer for you hypothetically. I would need an opinion from an evaluation service, and I would need to look at your facts very, very carefully. I think whoever your lawyer is, they will be able to help you when they do your green card. That's one of the first things they'll check for. And, you know, if for some reason the EB2 doesn't come through, they have to make sure that they are protecting your green card overall under EB3. So it can be done, but it's got to be done by the lawyer who's doing your green card. Okay. Then, since green card may take time, L1 is not extendable beyond 5 years, you will need to convert from 2H1 somewhere along the line. Yes. Yes. You can file change of status, or you can file H1 through consular processing. Either way, it works. Okay. If I process H1 through different companies separately and gets approved, up to what time can I keep it open without joining the company? As long as the company has a job for you, you could keep it open indefinitely. Okay? But be prepared to then explain why the company is willing to wait for you and why are you not joining. Next question, Kumar_7. I-539, H1B to F1 denied. Please help. For Kumar, what happened was, the school gave him an I-20 which was invalid because of being untimely. Should I do an MTR? I don't know if I would recommend an MTR. I'm concerned about the unlawful presence issue. Once your I-94 expires or your H-1 is withdrawn, you become subject to the 310 bar if you continue to stay in USA unlawfully. So that's one thing I would be concerned about. Why don't you just go get a visa stamp? I mean, that may be one way to go. Okay? So MTR, you don't know how long it's going to take. That's my biggest problem. And you might run into problems with the 310 bar. Next question, Sunshine 11. What forms are used to apply for green card? We usually don't talk about forms because that is almost like committing legal malpractice in some ways because we don't know exactly what your situation is. Normally, most people who get to U.S. citizens, get married to U.S. citizens, have to file for two sets of forms. One is the package form I-130. It has a bunch of other, you know, subsidiary forms. And the other one is the package of form I-485 called adjustment of status. I can't tell you beyond that, but, you know, do some research. It's not that hard to figure out. You should be able to figure it out. Okay? And when you get married to a U.S. citizen, you can file all the forms concurrently. And you don't need to pay any fines as long as you don't travel outside USA. You know, all things considered, I would say, Sunshine, that you should maybe get yourself a lawyer simply because there's an out-of-status issue here. Okay? Normally, for family-based, especially green card, U.S. citizens' spouses, I don't recommend hiring a lawyer. But in your case, why take a chance? Might as well. Sai for green card wants to know what is the age limit of children on H-4. And that's 21. Once they turn 21, they are no longer an H-4. They would have to, at that point, apply for an F-1. They can begin their study on H-4 if they want. The children can. But once they turn 21, they would have to go for their own separate status. Okay? Next question, Vamsi K. I'm currently in OPT, ends December 2009. Got H-1 approved. Through consular processing, okay, so they did not get you a change of status. Yes, you can do an OPT extension. I don't see any problem. Just make sure of one thing. There could be a problem with SEVIS. Ask your school if the SEVIS reflects that you are on H-1 now. It should not, but if it does, then you will not be able to extend your OPT. Okay. Can I apply for a fresh H-1 next year if I choose to go for OPT? Yes, you can apply for a fresh H-1, but why would you do that? You already have an H-1 approval. Next question is wonderful. Process for citizen to file for green card for Canadian parents. Well, it doesn't matter where your parents are from. The process is the same when a U.S. citizen child or or you know, offspring apply for their parents, the process is the same for all over the world. You can file for AOS along with I-130 while they're visiting you, as long as, excuse me, as long as there was no preconceived intention that they entered USA with the intention to change status. If they enter after a few months, they want to stay here and get their green card, you can file AOS. Otherwise, it may be just an academic issue. It becomes a little bit of at least an academic problem or a theoretical problem that you're not supposed to have a preconceived intention to change to green card when you enter using tourist visa. Do they need to leave USA or can they continue to stay with me? They can continue to stay if you file AOS. Or do I need to file I-130 and then CP? Kitty, you can file it that way also. You can file I-130 and then they can go for their CP, but that's not required as long as they did not have a preconceived intention to change to green card. Next question is JKumar001, unique H-1 dilemma. Okay, I got my first H-1 on 14 December 2003. Worked for an employer A for 2 years, then transferred to B, worked for another couple of years there. Total time on H-1 was 3 years, 8 months. I left and came back to India in August 2007, and I'm currently in India. I've kept H-1 valid from employer C, but never worked with them. It is valid till December 2009. Okay, employer B has got my green card. Excuse me. Employer B has given me some water, I think. Just a second. Okay. Employer B had applied for my green card and got my labor and I-140 approved. I-140 got approved on 26 October 2006. If I wish to go back to USA on employer C's H-1, will I be able to extend it? Yes. The problem is, when you go for the stamping, the consulate could ask you, how is it that this person C is holding a job open for you for so many years? So it may be a better option for you, I think. Okay? See, when you have this kind of situation, you have two options. You've been outside USA for more than 1 year. You can get entire 6 years of H-1 because the quota is still available. So you can have your employer C or whoever you want to work for apply for your H-1 right away premium processing and get the paperwork and go get a new visa stamp. Because if you go with that old visa stamp, with the old paperwork, the consulate could raise a question, and I think it's a good question, that why is the employer waiting for you if they really have a job? Okay? And employer C can also apply for your extension, but again, you know, I think you'll be better off to just either get a new H-1 through the same employer or another employer. I do not know about the status of my I-140, whether they canceled it or not. Does I-140 help me in this regard? No, not really. You can come on H-1, Mr. Kumar, if you get a genuine job in USA. H-1 quota, as I understand, is still available. Otherwise, you can just take the remainder option and come for the time that's left on the original H-1, which is close to a couple of years, 2 years, 4 months. So you have both options. If for some reason the quota runs out, you can always come for the remainder of 2 years, 4 months. But get yourself a genuine job offer. Lavanya Reddy wants to know, H-1 revoked, change from H-1 to F-1. Okay. So I was an OPT till September 30th. H-1 was approved, but the employer is withdrawing the case. I'm expecting an I-20 from a university. Can I apply for a change of status from H-1 to F-1? Very difficult. Very difficult, but not impossible. Because, you see, it's really a matter of INS's discretion. Let me put it to you this way. It really is not. There's a lot of discussion that can go into it. Bottom line is, it is the discretion of USCIS. You could just step outside the border, get yourself another F-1, and come back. If I get a job and if my employer applies for a new H-1, what kind of questions can I? I don't think you get too many questions on the issue of not having a job earlier. I don't think that should be a problem. One of my friends applied for change of status H-1 to F-1 3 months after his H-1 revocation. Can I consider this case and apply for a change of status from H-1 to F-1? My concern is unlawful presence problem. Once your I-94 expires or your H-1 gets revoked, let's say you apply for a change of status to F1, if INS does not give you the change of status, you could be subject to the 3-year bar because you would have waited more than 180 days, you know, for the INS to decide your case. So the best approach for your case, I think, would be to go outside USA and get a visa stamp and come back. After applying change of status from H-1 to F-1, if I get a job, my employer applies for H-1B, can I withdraw? Yes, you can withdraw the F-1 application. But it appears to me that your best bet is to look for an H-1, apply for a premium processing, and see if INS is willing to forgive your small out-of-status period. But if it lasts too long, if you know you're not able to get a job, let's say within the next month, you should leave USA and wait outside, come back on F1 or H1, whatever works for you. Remember, once you are out of status, you are deportable. If INS catches you and deports you, you can't come back for 5 years. Keep this in mind. Next question is a question on CSPA. This is the last question that was posted, so I'm going to open the call for questions from people who had already posted. And anybody with new questions, I will not be able to answer. Okay, just remember, we're a little short for this call. Time is not that, I mean, I have to do a couple of other things before the end of the day. So we are going to do the questions of people who have already posted. CSPA law. Ma'am, the problem with CSPA is it is fairly complicated. I don't want to give a snap judgment. Generally speaking, if somebody turns 21 before CSPA came into effect, which is, I think, August 2002, then unless they have a petition pending, they would have no protection from CSPA. But I want you to get yourself a local lawyer, another one of those issues where I think you are better off with a local lawyer, and talk with them about your CSPA case. Generally speaking, I just gave you the law. Okay? Good luck to you, and I'm going to get back with people about any questions they might have. Give me a second. Let me see how to do this. Press *6 to speak with me, please. *6.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Hi, Raju.
Hello.
Hello. This is VC Pat. I think the first question, the very first question was from me. Unique tax situation before filing N-400. Can you see that? Before the first question that you answered.
Oh, there's another one before that. Huh. For some reason, I don't have that. Why don't you ask me your question? I may have copied and pasted wrong. Please go ahead and ask me.
No, yeah, basically, it is just a very simple question. I had missed around $2,000 for my 2007 tax.
Okay.
And IRS sent me notice. And I actually paid the money to IRS and also filed amendment for the state.
Very
so I'm done with all those two actions. My question was, that there is a question, FIU, do you owe any federal, state, or local taxes that are overdue on N-400? Should I answer yes or no?
The answer is no, because you don't owe it anymore. You paid it.
Okay, and the A4 is since becoming a lawful resident. Have you ever failed to file a required federal, state, or local
you will
taxes?
Say yes, and you will say yes, and you will explain in a letter what happened, attach a copy of what you've done.
Okay, so basically this is I failed to file a required
federal. You did not owe, but you failed to file, and it was inadvertent, you paid your dues, you're all set.
But I filed this return. It was a mistake in this.
That's okay. Just go ahead. See, I like to give more information than less.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I always like to err on the side of disclosure. So you'll be fine. Go ahead and do that.
And last question on this. What documents will be good to support if it comes in interview?
Just a copy of your amended tax return.
Okay. That will be sufficient.
That should be sufficient. Yes, sir. Copy of
okay.
the check that you've sent out. You can even talk to your CPA. It may be a good idea to see if they can get some kind of a letter from, I don't know if it is available. I'm not a tax guy. But some kind of a letter could come from the state and federal government saying that you owe no taxes.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's this will not become a big issue
for
you.
I wouldn't lose sleep over it. I think you'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rajya.
My pleasure. Good luck, sir.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Press *6 to talk with me, guys.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Raju, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yes. Hey, Raju, my name is Vamsi. I was the one who had a question saying my OPT ends in December 2009 and I would like to go for extension and my action is being approved.
I'm a little confused. Which question was that? I'm sorry?
It should be question number, post number 19.
No, again, give me the facts. I don't have the numbers like you do.
Oh, okay. It should be fourth one from below, fourth or fifth.
Okay, let's see. What is your, Vamsi K, right?
Yeah, Vamsi K.
Regarding age limit of children, yes, I got your question. Go ahead, please.
No, not the age limit of children.
Oh, the Vamsi, I'm sorry, that's the one before that. OPT ends December 2009, got H-1B approval, and but it was done through consular processing and you want to extend your OPT. Yes, I got that.
You said it should not reflect on my CV. I cross-checked with my university, it doesn't reflect on my CV.
Then there is no problem, you can get your OPT extension.
But in one of my forms, in my OPT extension forms, it states that I need to show them all the H-1 notices, approvals and all.
No, but remember, you don't have change of status. You are still on F1 OPT. Only if you got change of status, then you would have a problem. You can't get an OPT extension. Right now, you are still on OPT. Hello.
Okay. Hello, Rishi.
Okay. Yeah, hang on. Vamsi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here still.
Yeah. So, did you get my answer?
Yeah, I got your answer. And I have one more question.
Yes, sir.
Can I apply for my change of status from some other company? Why instead of the company which has
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You are
okay.
Not subject to the H-1.
I need my I-797 original form, right?
No problem at all. Yes, sir.
Okay. But my employer says my I-797 form did not reach me yet. So how many days will it take to reach the
I-797
form?
I cannot predict that. I cannot predict that. But I know that my office has been able to get... this issue came up a couple of weeks ago in another case. We were able to get H-1 transfer without the approval notice as long as we had the receipt number.
Okay.
Sure,
thanks for that
information. Hi, Rajiv. This is Anand.
Yes, Anand. Go ahead.
This is regarding disability benefits on EAD.
Yes, sir.
So, will I get paid disability benefits on EAD from SSA?
I don't see why not. Certainly.
Okay. And also, like, is it possible, like, if I, like, go back to India, will I get paid there?
Look, there are two different issues here. From immigration law perspective, absolutely no problem. But from insurance law perspective, I don't know the answer because I don't practice in that area. But as your insurance qualifies you for those benefits, you can get them anywhere in the world. That's not a problem.
Let's say I start getting from SSA right now, and later down the line, after 6 months or 1 year, if I go back to India, will they still pay me?
Hang on. I think I'm confused. If you're talking about social security benefits.
Yeah, social security.
No, that's a totally different ballgame. That's a totally different ballgame. Because I thought you were talking about private disability insurance.
No. It's from, they said, I have enough credits, 40 plus credits from Social Security.
No, that, Anand, is something I would have to look up the law on. I do not know the answer to that question. You want an easy answer? Contact your, I told somebody else to do the same thing. Contact your congressman's office.
Okay.
Also contact INS customer service.
Okay.
What are the implications of my getting SSA on my green card?
So EAD, you don't think it's possible?
My concern is that is this a mean tested benefit? Is this a benefit that can foreclose you from getting green card? These are things that we need to worry about.
Okay.
And I can't really comment about it until I have looked at the law very carefully. The issue is so important that I don't want to start taking disability from the government. Private insurance, I have no problem. But from the government, you have to make sure that this is not going to be an issue for you. I think it should be okay, but I can't comment authoritatively on this.
So private insurance, what is it? How do you approach?
See, what happens is some people or some employers will have disability insurance with you, for example, with New York Life or one of these private companies. you happen to be unfortunate and have a problem and you can't work, then the insurance pays you a certain amount every month.
Okay. So, it is like medical insurance you are talking?
It is kind of a medical insurance, but it's geared towards disability.
Okay. So, even I can approach with SSR, like office? Can I
contact? All three. And after you've got all the information, send it to me through the contact us form. At least I'll look at it and see if there's something really weird in it that doesn't make sense.
Okay.
You know, I can take a look at what you've got.
Yeah, can you please find out and...
No, I can't find out. That takes too much time. I want you to do the homework.
Okay.
Run it by me. I'll take a look at it, see if it makes sense.
So I can contact SSN and tell them, right? I am an EAD.
Contact all three sources. Social Security Administration, you can contact the USCIS Customer Service, and contact Congressman's office.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Raju.
Good luck, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
Hi, Rajiv.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm a new user, so pardon my ignorance. I didn't exactly know how to post a question, so I just went on the forum, and I posted my question. I did my naturalization interview on September 22nd.
I'm going to have to have you hold for a second. I want to finish up questions of the people who are already who have posted. What is your name, sir? Just make up a name if you want.
It's Christopher.
Christopher. Christopher, hang on a second. Anybody else, folks, who's posted their questions? Nobody else. Christopher, you are in luck. Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
Did you have natural certification? Go ahead.
Yeah. I finished my N-400 interview. It went well. AO was a little bit nasty, but that's another kettle of fish. He gave me a WR-822 because the only concern he had was I hadn't been employed since the end of 2000.
Okay.
I explained to him that I was in the toy industry and they had the whole Chinese-led problem with toys. So that led to my losing my job, and then before I could recover, the recession came in. But in between, my family, who is financially well off, had been sending me money. I had friends who were wiring money. So he said I should bring a copy of my 2000 tax returns, every page of my passport, and also documentary evidence that my family and friends supported me, which I did on the 25th of September.
All
right. So I don't know if there's any reason for me to be concerned. You know, the anxiety that goes through these things.
No, I don't see, as long as you have a good explanation for your unique circumstances.
Yes.
The fact that you have not paid taxes is not a big deal because you haven't made any money.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, only circumstance I can think of is if you are caught in some kind of an unexplainable situation. As long as you can reasonably explain it, I see no reason for denial of your naturalization.
Okay, fantastic. All right, I just wanted peace of mind on that.
Oh, no, you should be all right. Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Raju. Hello.
Yes, I can
hear
you.
Hi, Raju. Yeah, this is Vijay. I had asked the question in the board, but I have one more question.
All right.
I actually changed the employer after getting green card after 3 months.
Okay.
And I'm getting ready to file my naturalization.
Do me one favor.
Mm-hmm.
File your naturalization after more than 5 years from a...
Okay.
After more than 5 years. Because then it only asks you for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I'm actually on the 6th year. I'm completing 6th
year.
Sure,
go ahead and file it. It should be okay.
Okay. Okay, thank
all right.
you.
Luck, sir. All right, folks, anybody else who has posted a all right, thank you very much for your time. Good luck, everybody. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.
Hello, Rajiv.
Yep.
Hello, Rajiv.
Yes?
I have a question.
All right.
I have applied for naturalization 2 weeks back, and I got a fingerprinting notice last Friday. And the question I have is, I have a trip to India for 1 week, you know, for...
No problem at all. If you want to go for 1 week, it should not be a big deal. You've got your notice for fingerprinting, right?
Yes, sir. It's in November 4th week.
And you're getting it done before you go?
Actually, it's going to be after, you know, I will be going and coming back then in November 4th.
And no problem at all? No problem. 1 week slip is no issue at all.
So if it is before or after fingerprinting, not a problem?
It shouldn't matter at all. No problem at all.
Great. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Good luck, sir. All right, folks. Thanks for being here. I gotta go. Bye-bye.
Hi, Rajiv.
Hi.
Hello.
I really have to go now, sir. I keep asking people if they have any questions.
Just a quick question, if you don't mind.
All right, go ahead.
I just heard that the Schedule A for the nurses, they have some kind of 10,000 quota every year, every fiscal year. Once they pass that, they convert it into EB3. But I didn't find this magic number in the USDA website.
No, they only did that 1 year.
Oh, they did only that for 1 year?
Yep. Then after that, they did not do it again.
Okay. So now all Schedule A goes into EB3 category, right?
It depends. Sometimes you can be EB2 and still be Schedule A.
No, but the problem is the registered nurses?
All go under EB. Most of them go under EB2. EB3, sorry.
EB3. Okay. And do you know which year they did this 10,000 thing?
I want to say 2007, but I could be wrong.
Is there any other way to do green card in registered nursing?
If a nurse has a bachelor's degree and...
Hello?
If the nurse has bachelor's degree and 5 years of experience, you might be able to...
There is no bachelor's degree, then there is no other way.
And there's no other way, no.
Right, and I mean, you have to work?
H-1B, if they have a bachelor's degree and the job requires a bachelor's degree.
Okay, so if there is no bachelor's, they cannot do, right?
Probably H-2B, but if they are India-born, no, because India has been excluded from the H-2B list.
I understand. Okay, I appreciate. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.